hope that one of these days, not me preaching, but them preaching, right? The younger one. Probably soon, right? Maybe Jeremy could do that like Raymond did for the worship team. Train up the next generation up to preach. Welcome to Ferris Park Baptist Church. Welcome back, Todd. It's a great honor to see you back here. All the way from Hawaii. Eh? I have a few announcements. Then I will actually go into my sermon today. Last week, I came out here and announced that we are having this lunch date program. I was not very clear, so I want to clarify a little bit. The lunch date program happens every Sunday after service. So the purpose of the lunch date is to make it easy for us to get to know each other that we typically do not know or have a chance to meet. So what you do is you come in during that day. If you're going to have lunch anyway after the service, which I think all of you would, unless you're fasting. Even fasting, you can have a lunch date. You just fast together and talk. So you put your name, phone number, and number of people that will be with you. So it's the whole family, or if you're single, you want to have someone that you know to go along. You have two or three of you. Put your name in the hat, and the host team will randomly select and match you up with two or three other groups. And you then decide what you want to eat, where you want to go. Even if you are willing to cook at home and invite them, you can do that. So it's up to you. The whole point is that we get to talk and have a meal with someone that we typically do not go out with. So that's the lunch date program. It happens every Sunday. So, and after the service, you see at the back, Kinon will put out a board there with all the names that matching of the groups that will be going out to lunch. You just go to the board, look up your names, and then call each other or text each other where to meet. Okay? Or you can just go to Kinon and he will pair you up. Is that right, Kinon? Okay, thanks. 12 families. There must be more than 12 families here. There must be more than 12 families going out to lunch, right? So if you're going out to lunch, please sign up. I won't be offended if halfway through my sermon you decided to sign up for lunch and go sign up, you know. That's okay. So that's the first announcement. Second announcement is the kindergarten, you know, these decorations, they're actually decorations that the kindergarten put up. The Ferris Park Kindergarten. They're having a concert on Thursday. Yeah. For the kindergarten's kids, and a lot of parents will be coming to see their children perform. So these are the decoration for them. The kindergarten needs some help, some people that are willing to do some heavy lifting, carrying some chairs from 14 Meranti and also from the storeroom upstairs after the service. Quite a few of us help out, it'll be very fast. I don't think there's a lot of chairs. They just need someone to help carry the chairs over and put it over here so it's easier for them to set up on Wednesday. Okay? So if you are willing to help, please look for Sujen. Sujen is over there. She will give you instruction on what to do after the service. Can you put up... There's some slide on worship through dance, right? Can you put that up? Okay, God gave the passion to a few ladies here to start up this ministry called Worship Through Dance. I was asked to make the announcement. I think it's Sherry, right? And Christine that will be taking the lead. On this, is that right, Christine? So Sherry and Christine, male, female, children, adults, elderly, everyone can participate and can worship through dance. It will be every Saturday of the month. Sorry, every second Saturday, sorry, of the month, 3 p.m. The first meeting is November 11. 3 to 4 p.m., you just come here and you just dance and worship the Lord. And I guess you teach them how to dance, right? Christine? Yes, like that. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to dance. And worship Him. Okay, so that's the lunch. That's the worship through dance, November 11, first time. And then next Sunday, 9 a.m. Is our corporate prayer time. So please come 1 hour earlier and join us in prayer. That's all for my announcement. Well, I'm early. So hopefully my sermon will end early and we go to lunch. Oh, offering. Yes. I'm confused. Sorry. Asher, can you collect the offering? Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, it is our honor to be able to participate in giving, in placing our offering into the bag. Lord, we thank you. That is because of you and your generosity towards us, that we can even have the means to make the offering. Lord, some of us actually have to make it out of sacrificially. Some of us out of abundance. But Lord, you receive all of them and you appreciate all of them as long as we offer them out of a willing heart. Lord, we want to honor you in all aspects of our being, including giving financially. Lord, we thank you that you gave us this privilege to participate in this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'm a little bit... I miss the offering. I'm a little bit confused because I'm nervous. I'm preaching. And I always, when I preach, I'm nervous. And I think that's a good thing. Because the moment I'm not nervous, then probably I'm not in the right heart and state of mind. So, I'm preaching part of the SRM series that we've been doing. Today, we are... Can you bring up the slides? Oh, wow, the slides is a little bit cut off. I hope they'll be fine. Today is the SRM section 4, part 5. That section, the whole section 4 deals with God and His people. And part 5 deals with leadership and co-laboring in the body of Christ. So the title of my sermon today is called Jesus church. So let me go to the first slide. Just to give you some, just to refresh our memory. Part one is the people of God, where we, where the study led us through discovering what are the, how God and why God call a people to Himself, and what defines this group of people. That was in part one. Part two talks about how this group of people live in unity and in a community. Kind of like us here, how we live in a community. And I'm going to do some marketing. The lunch date program is to help us live, to know our community better, to know each other better. Some from sitting over here every weekend may end up having lunch with someone from here that you never talk. So that's part of building community. Part three talks about gifts and services, how the Lord gave gifts to each one of us, and that gift is to be used to serve Him, to serve the Lord and His people and the unreached people out there. Part four deals with how this group of people that God called but did not take with Him to heaven immediately because He wanted to leave them behind to finish the great work that He has started. And is to live among the lost so that the lost can see how this group of people live their life and give praise to God and get to know this God that is our Father. That's part four. So today, we're in part five, leading and co-laboring in the body. This is just, I'm the first one, I think, that start on this series. And I think many, later on, other people will touch more about this topic. But today, PKJ, it's I think someone needs to move their car. Okay, where am I? Yeah, today I'm just going to touch on one element of this topic. And from my title, I think you can probably guess, Jesus Church. The title and the focus I'm focusing on is how Jesus is the head of this church, of His church. That's why I named it Jesus Church. Okay? So I'm just going to touch on that element, and then there's other people we'll be touching on the same topic from a different perspective. Now, before I go into my sermon, I want us to ponder on this question. I'm sure all of us thought about this. What is your desire for Ferris Park Baptist Church? We all have desires, aspirations for Ferris Park. In fact, you know, when I go on holiday, or I go back to Hong Kong, I think twice or a year, we would go visit a church there. So sometimes the same, but we tend to visit different churches in Hong Kong. And every time I go there, I would, before I get there, I'll have certain expectation, certain desire, and certain things I would like to see in that church. I want you to ponder for a second. What is your desire for Ferris Park Baptist Church? You know, some of us may desire Ferris Park to grow in numbers, that we will have from 200, 300, 400, 500 people congregation meeting every week. Some of us have desire to have wonderful worship service that touches heart, move the spirit. We all have different desire for Ferris Park Baptist Church. And as you ponder on what is your desire and think about that, I want to share with you what is my desire for Ferris Park Baptist Church. And I want to stress it's my desire. It may be the same as yours. My desire is for Fettes Park to have a strong and vibrant youth group. Kind of like, you know, the youth band. I actually was in tears when they led worship. Because that was the first point that I have. I want Fettes Park with a strong and vibrant youth group with great shepherding. Angel and Rachel is not here this morning, but they faithfully serve every weekend, every Saturday. So I want to see that. I want to see how the teens, the young adults, being integrated together, in having relationships with multi-generation, across generation, and serving each other. Not just the adults serving the children, but the children serving adults. The young adults pouring out their hearts, being role models to the teens. The teens helping out with Children Church and Awana. That's my desire for Fettes Park Baptist Church. And my desire, that my newfound desire today is someone, one of the teens will come out here and preach one of the sermons. My second desire, I want to see a children church, the Awana Club, and the Fettes Park Kindergarten. There are three kind of ministry towards the children to have better coordination that mutually support each other in their ministry, and that they have the ability, all three ministry, not just to touch the children, but to touch the children's parents and to touch their families and to bring Christ into their household. That's my desire for the children ministry. And my third desire, and I have many, I'm not going to share all of them, I'm just going to share three. My third desire is for the families. When I first came to Fettes, when we first came to Fettes Park Baptist Church, the church gave, this is a long time ago, a while back, gave me the impression, maybe wrongly, that it consists of older people and very few families with younger children. And today, you can see, look around, it's different. And that is fantastic. So I want to see Fettes Park Baptist Church where the family is built up. You know, our families are under tremendous attack by Satan. And this is not new. I mean, this is his strategy. It started at the fall. What does he do? He put a wedge between Adam and Eve. They started to blame each other. Families are broken apart. And you can see from Genesis all the way down, family going against family. His strategy is the same. I mean, his objective is the same, and his strategy to attacking God people is the same. His methodology may be different. Today, our young people are bombarded with media, social media, that takes and robs their mind. Takes them away from interacting with family. And you know, sometimes for me to actually reach my children, I have to text them first. Right, Chris? I have to text them. And then they tell me, oh, Daddy, we no longer use Facebook. We're now Instagram. Facebook are for old people. That's me. So we are. He's using all these strategies so that we no longer communicate, and we no longer able to. It split us apart. So my prayer is for, my desire is for Fettes Park to be a church of families that is close knit, that is united in their faith, and in their love for God and each other. And they are one generation passing down the faith to the next, and to the next, and to the next. One generation honoring God, teaching the next generation to do the same. That's my desire for Fettes Park Baptist Church. And I'm sure you have many desires. Now, as you were thinking about the desire you have for Fettes Park Baptist Church, I want you to keep that in your mind as I go through my sermon today. And I want you to ponder and reflect on this desire. Now, all these desires, a lot of them are very good. And they are things that is good for us, for our church. But are these the desire of Jesus Christ? You know, the title of my sermon, as I say, is Jesus Church. Oops. Okay. He's the head of this church. When I put that up, that statement, I don't think any one of us will disagree. Right? Read you a few verses. Ephesians 1:22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. So we are his body. He's the head. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. I don't think anyone of us will argue that Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of the universal church. He's the head of Fettes Park Baptist Church. But is he really the head of Fettes Park Baptist Church? Do we treat Fettes Park Baptist Church as if that's Jesus' church? Or do we come to Fettes Park expecting certain things that will serve our needs, will meet our needs, that some of us even demand? We want this. We want to have this. And I'm going to take a step back. A lot of these needs, wants, and desire, they may be good. But I want us to pause for a second today, and I want us to consider this point. If Jesus Christ is the head of this church, do we know what is his desire for this church? We know our desire. Do we know what is his desire for our church? Now, if you have done the SRM study, you would have known, you have realized that at the end of each section, yeah, part and section, I always get confused, you are supposed to come up with this if-then statements. So, meaning you study the scriptures, and based on your study, you say, if, and you come to some conclusion and some truth, and you would say, if this is true, then this. So today I'm going to lead us through an if-then statement. So if Jesus is the head of the church, then what? If Jesus is the head of Fettes Park Baptist Church, then what? Now, you know, the if-then statement, you can actually, it's done in a way where it's quite open-ended, and you can answer in various different ways. So, for example, just the same statement. You can create an if-then statement that says this. If Jesus is the head of Fettes Park Baptist Church, then Fettes Park Baptist Church should do this, that, and that, and that. That's one way to answer that if-then statement. A second way is that if Jesus is the head of Fettes Park Baptist Church, then I will. I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. I think you should, those are good if-then statements. I think you should go back throughout this week and ponder on that and say, if Jesus is the head of the church, what will I do? What should Fettes Park Baptist Church do? But I'm not going to cover that today. So you have the whole week to do that yourself. Today, the statement that I want to create is this. If Jesus Christ is the head of Fettes Park Baptist Church, our church will be like this. Will look like this. So I want to answer this statement that if Jesus Christ is the head, Fettes Park will look like this. And I think this is a good way to approach this statement because it put us in a perspective of understanding. If we answer this question, we'll be able to figure out what is the desire of Jesus for this church. If Jesus is the head of this church, Fettes Park will look like this. Not we will do this or Fettes Park collectively will do this, but it will be like this if Jesus is truly the head of this church. So that's how I would like to answer this statement. And to help us answer this statement, let's go back to Ephesians 4. Is it too small? Can you see? No, the font color is wrong. Huh? Next time I'll choose different coloring. Let's read it together. I'll read it. Let me see if I can. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I'm going to use this passage today to answer this question. And we have actually touched on this before. If you remember when we were covering the section on gifts and services, this is one of the passages that you look at. This passage is also oftentimes used to talk about different giftings and different offices in the church. But today I'm going to focus on answering this question. If Jesus is the head, which it says there, the head that is Christ, how would he like his church to look like? And how would he like Fettes Park Baptist Church to look like? If you actually look between the lines, you find some nuggets there. And the first one is this. Reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So if Jesus Christ is the head of Fettes Park Baptist Church, Fettes Park Baptist Church will be united in faith and in knowledge of the Son of Christ. So So that's how Jesus would like Fettes Park to be, united in faith and knowledge of the Son of Christ. You know, I've been thinking about unity a lot recently. In fact, a few months, God has put this in this burden in my heart, that I want to see unity in my family. I want to see unity in Fettes Park. I want to see we get along. I want to see unity at the other ministry that I work in. And some of you serve with me in those ministry, and you will know that this has been my focus point for months now. And God has put that burden in me, this unity. And He has caused me to ponder and think everywhere I go. So I was given the opportunity to go to Cambodia for the first time. I went there for a meeting and a retreat. And actually, I grew up in Malaysia, so close to Cambodia. But I never knew what happened there. In between 1974 to 1979, I may have gotten the date, the year wrong. Is that right? Yeah. 25% of the population were killed. 25. 1 in 4. They basically wipe out 25% of the population. And I didn't even know. And what does that have to do with unity? You know, the thing that got me thinking is that a few of these supposedly smart guys went to study in France. They came back with this belief system that how the ideal society will look like. They were able to convince a group of people to follow this ideal. And you know, get what? Guess what? This ideal is to kill 25% of the population, so that they can restart everything, and they were going to set their calendar, right, to time zero and start counting from there. And this is a good idea. And this one single idea unite a big group of people to do things that is unthinkable, killing, torturing 25% of the population. Is that unity, you think? I'd say so. This group of people are so united in their thinking that they were so single-mindedly focused on this task of creating a new ideal society that they don't see anything else. All they see is creating this ideal society, and this is a good idea. They are even and they go about doing that. To me, that's unity. In the wrong way, in a bad way. And, you know, leads me to think of Nazi Germany. Same thing. How do you mobilize such a big pocket of people with an idea that is so way out there that you step back today and you think for a second, you know, it's just wrong, evil. It happens. That's unity. But you know, when I shared earlier on, when Lord put in my burden in my heart to pray for unity, my prayer was like this: Lord, make my family get along with each other. Lord, make sure that Fettes Park Baptist Church will treat each other with love and care in speech, in action. Nothing wrong with that, but to me, that is not true unity. That is pretend unity. Meaning, when I talk to Claudia, I better be careful what words and choices of word I choose so I do not offend her. Is that true unity? That is just me being hypocritical. I may really hate her, but I would just say nice. I don't hate you, Claudia. But I would say words that would not offend you. So things look peaceful. Things look good. So we oftentimes approach unity that way. When there's argument, there's conflict among us, we say that's disunity. Nothing happened, everything is nice, we greet each other, good morning, hello, nice, welcome to church, God bless you, that's unity. But is that true unity? Is that kind of unity that will drive you, like what driven the Cameroon, what driven the Nazi to do things, do this kind of extreme things, extreme measure, united with one passion, one goal, and one belief. So if we approach unity as not, you know, there's no conflict, no argument, I would say that's superficial unity. The true unity is actually stated there. United in our faith and in our knowledge of the Son of God. When we are united in our faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, everything else become acceptable, tolerable. Give you an example. I was thinking this. You know, as when I think of unity, I think of troops, soldiers, armies going to war together. They watch each other back. When there's an attacker, they would protect each other, cover for each other. That's unity. And when they go to war, you put together different kinds of people, different color of skins, different, maybe sometimes even different languages. You put them together, but they have a united purpose, united mission. When this mission and this country that they are serving, they're fighting for, is bigger than themselves, the soldiers can tolerate the snoring of the next guy. The soldier can tolerate the next person's choice of food. The soldier can tolerate the body odor of the next person he's sleeping with, because he doesn't see that, he doesn't smell that, he doesn't feel that, because he's single-mindedly focused on accomplishing the mission and protecting each other. So when Ferris Park Baptist, when we start to notice the bad smell of our fellow brothers and sisters, maybe we should check to see if our focus is really God, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. If our faith and our knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is so high up there, everything else become just noise, and it's no longer matter that much. To me, that's true unity. When Ferris Park Baptist Church was able to live with people with bad smell, bad body odor, snoring, when we go to retreat together, which we are going soon. When is that, Claudia? March 10. Mark your calendar. We're going to retreat. And you'll be made to sleep with people that snore. I snore, so maybe you sleep, share a room with me. So when we are truly united, you won't even notice. And you start to accept the shortcomings of the other. You only see the goodness of that person. That's true unity to me. And, you know, I was thinking, how did the Cameroon, the Nazis, I mean, how do you convince, how does like Hitler convince people that his idea is good? It's just weird. In fact, it's demonic. The only, as I was thinking about that, how can you convince thinking human being that can make choices to choose to believe and trust in your ideology where to reset the society to zero is to circle everyone and kill everyone so that you can start from scratch. That is just not normal human being thinking with ability to make choices. That is demonic. And the only answer I can come up with is they were on all these, when all this wickedness and evilness happened, Satan is driving it. He is the one that blinded them and to only see what Satan wanted them to see. And similar, and if you know another example in, you don't want to take history, you take, well, you can, another example you can see is you go back to the Bible, the Tower of Babel. Similarly, a group of people united to do things that is against the will of God. To have this true unity in faith and in knowledge of Son of God, we need a different kind of spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Just like the Cameroon and the Nazis, I believe, was driven by satanic forces, we need to be driven and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit can unite us in faith and in knowledge of God. Only Him. Because if left to our own devices, we cannot achieve that. So when Ferris Park Baptist Church is actually energized and powered by the Holy Spirit, we will have this unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God. That's, I believe, is the desire of Jesus Christ for our church. We will be united. In not just any unity, but unity towards Jesus Christ, unity to with us in faith. Okay. Second desire. I believe Jesus Christ wants us to be mature. And it says here, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean to you? Full measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, it intrigues me, so I look up different translation to make sure I understood this. NLT, mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. ESV, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. King James, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. And the Message, usually I don't look at, but this time I did. Fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. In fact, I like the Message version better. Fully alive like Christ. So, I think what Jesus Christ's desire for Fettes Park Baptist Church is that for us to be fully alive, like Jesus is fully alive. Christ-likeness is what he wanted Fettes Park to be. Let me ask you a question. When you think of, we always say that we want to mature and want to be like Christ. What does, when I say Christ-likeness to you, what does that come to your mind? What is the most Jesus Christ thing to you? Sorry? Meekness, okay. That's Jesus Christ. What else? Sorry? Love. Yeah. There's many things that describe, that shows the character of God, that shows the character of Jesus Christ. But two things stand out the most to me. It's his obedience to his Father's will. It says many times in Scripture that how he will only do what he sees the Father does. Let me read you some. John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever Father does, the Son also does. Obedience. Mark 14:36. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. This is before he goes to the cross. He is willing to obey the Father completely, totally, unto death. So what is the situation when Fettes Park measure up to the fullness of Christ means? Yes, it's love. Yes, it's meekness. But to me, Jesus Christ come to this earth with a single purpose, single mission, which is to call a people to him, which is to provide salvation for the people so that they can be forgiven by the Father, be united to him. And he is so single-mindedly focused on that plan that God has for him. He has done many things. He has shown many of his characters. But when I see the full measure of the measure of the fullness of Christ, that popped to my mind. That Jesus Christ, in his fullness, willing to go to the cross, and because the Father's, that's the Father's will. That's the only way. That's the only way the Father wanted to save us sinners. That's the only way. And he did it. So to me, when Fettes Park measured up to the fullness of Christ, Fettes Park is willing to obey Christ totally, unto death. Even if Fettes Park Baptist Church, if that's Jesus' will, and his will is Fettes Park Baptist Church no longer remain, are you willing to accept that? Am I willing to accept that? Jesus did. Jesus is willing to die so that more will come to know the Lord. So if that's, I'm not saying that's God's call for us, but if that is, are you willing to accept that? I think many of us would not. I would find it hard to to accept that, but that's what it means. When Jesus Christ is the head of this church, if that means that we should break apart this church and leave and go out and populate the whole Malaysia, we should do that. If that's His will. And we should not be hung up to this building, this great building that God blesses us with, that we meet here. If He asks us to just tear down and give away the building and split up and go, are you willing to do that? Jesus says, if measuring up to Christ is what the desire of Jesus Christ is, does that match up with our desire for Fettes Park Baptist Church? I'm not saying that that's what He desired. I'm just quoting the word that Jesus Christ is willing to die to obey His Father's will. So are we willing to do the same, to obey the Father's will? You know, one of the thing that struck me as I was thinking about my desire for Fettes Park, and I'm actually looking at us here, and I'm looking at myself, how well am I doing this part? If I'm to measure up to Jesus Christ, this is what I just want to read you a verse where this is after His crucifixion at the cross. He then, for the next 40 days, He appeared with the disciples. And before He goes back to His Father, and this is final word, this is what He said to His disciple. Again, Jesus in John 20:21. And it says similar concept in other gospel, but I just want to read the John one. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That's His message to His church. Parting words. And why that convicts me? Jesus single-mindedly focused on bringing peace between God and His people. His mission of coming is to provide salvation, to bring the good news to the masses. And I look at myself and I, how often do I approach every relationship I have with this same zealousness of when I every relationship I come in contact with, am I focusing on bringing peace? Not just between us and that relationship, but peace for this person and God the Father. And honestly, I go through my life and my relationship just, I'm relating for the sake of relating. The missing part is bringing peace of this person with God. But Jesus is very focused on that. So to be measured up to the fullness of Christ, Fettes Park will be a church that is zealous about bringing peace to homes of people that God put in our way, that we will be out there constantly thinking about how do we bring peace of God into families and friends that have not yet known Christ. I think that's the desire of Jesus for this church. And that's the desire of Jesus for His universal church. It's the desire of Jesus for every single believer, which is to go as the Father sent Him to come here to make peace with God, the Father. He sent us so that sinners can make peace with God, the Father. And is that to measure up to the fullness of Christ? Ferris Park will do that. We'll have to be doing that. I, Chun, have to be doing that. And I'm going to end early. Last point today. From Him, the whole body joined and held together. The Him is Christ, which is the head. So, if Jesus Christ is the head of Ferris Park Baptist Church, then Ferris Park will be held and joined together by Him. What does that mean? I think when I look at that, what it shows me is a church that is truly relying and dependent on Jesus Christ. Totally. Because it says, from Him, the whole body joined and held together. So oftentimes, I would say, when I want unity in the church, I would approach it in a way where, what can I do to make sure I maintain unity? Yes, there's the element of that. But I think this verse says is from Him, Jesus Christ, the whole body joined and held together. Okay. So oftentimes, we would strive to make peace with each other. But that doesn't work because we are different. We have different perspectives. We want different things. We have different desire for Ferris Park Baptist Church. I want to see children worshipping with their family together in this congregation. Some families said, I want their children to go to Sunday school. Different. Some say we want children to be here to lead worship. Some feel that they need to be trained up before they can go up. So there's all these different desires, and we can try to make peace with each other by compromising, right? We make compromise with each other. We say, okay, if I take one step back, you take one step back, we are all happy. But that's not true unity. That's not being held together. In fact, as we take one step back, I take one step back, what happened? We walk further from each other. Isn't it? One step, I give one step, you give one step, peace. But that's, we're further away, we're not united. True unity has to be from Jesus Christ. He unites us, as I said earlier on, where I quoted the example of Cameroon and Nazi, and I point to the fact that what can unite us is only the Holy Spirit. Do you pray for our church to be united? Have I prayed for the Holy Spirit to work in me so that I can have the same faith as my brothers and sisters at church? So that we are united in our vision and plan that God has for us. And a church that's dependent on God also You know, one verse that actually described that really well for me is actually this, John 15:5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, Jesus Christ in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we try to achieve unity by us trying, you can do nothing. It can only happen if you remain in me, in Christ, and I in you. To me, the only what Jesus Christ is describing a church is a church that is so close to Him, abiding in Him. And how does abiding in Him look like? To me, it's two ways. A church that prays a lot, unceasingly to Him. A church that remain in His Word, grounded by His Word. We sang, the youth led this song earlier on. I can't remember the verse. Maybe you guys can help me. Something about the Word. Who is the Word? Huh? I can't remember. Do you remember? The second song. The first verse of the second song. You cannot remember? Maybe I go to scripture. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and Word was God. That's Jesus. To me, when Jesus said, remain in me, that is fully immersing, I cannot pronounce that. Full immersion in God's Word. So I believe a Jesus Christ church will be a church that every single one is always fully into God's Word. It's fully in it. Not just listening from the speakers up here, but you yourself, fully in His Word, fully in His prayer. That is what remaining in me means to me. And I think if Jesus Christ is the head of this church, we will all be fully in prayer mode all the time, fully in His Word all the time. Everything that we encounter, His Word come to mind. Every decision that we're making, His Word come to mind. Every time we're driving, singing, swimming, going to school, we're in prayer mode. And what I mean by that is that every situation that we encounter, we are actually relating to God. And we know we are either looking out for what God is telling us, what God is showing us, or what God is telling us to do. We are fully, continuously aware of God's presence. That's remaining in Him. That's abiding in Him. And I think, and if we all do that, there is no way we will not be united, because we are single-mindedly united in our focus to be remaining in Christ. So how can we be divided? We don't even have to take a step back and a step back to compromise, because we are remaining in Him. We're all together. We're connected. We're branches that connected. When we are all connected to the source, Jesus Christ, it says we'll all bear fruit. And you know, when this happened, a lot of those good desires that I wanted, that I listed out just now, that you may have desired that this church will grow in numbers, all those will happen. It will come to being. And we don't even have to do that, because we just go about submitting to the rule of Christ as this church. So next time when I go to Hong Kong, when I go visit the church, I will no longer evaluate the church by, oh, what are they doing for their service? I wouldn't say, oh, this church, the sermon is only half an hour, 20 minutes. That's what they do in Hong Kong. Maybe we should do that here in Penang too, 20-minute sermon. But I should be actually looking at these things. Is that church Jesus Christ Church? Is that church doing these three things? Is that church maturing, attaining to the full measure of Christ, united in their faith and in their knowledge of the Son of God? And is that church being held together, fully trusting on the source, which is Jesus Christ? So when I go next time, this is what I will look for. And I will know that that's Jesus Christ Church. So that's it. We're going to end early today. Let me pray. Dear Lord, you have put a burden in my heart that I may have wonderful desires that I want to see happen at this church, but the only desire that matters is actually yours. Lord, I pray that all the things that you mention here in the scripture that we focus on today will be a reality of Faddis Park Baptist Church. Because we are your church. You are our head. And we are only able to be called Faddis Park Baptist Church because of you, what you have done on the cross, what you the giftings that you give to each one of us so that we can build up each other for good works. It's only because of you holding us together in unity. Lord, I thank you for this time, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.